Dogs on three. One, two, three.
Dogs. Good to be back. Let's go. Let's go.
Nah, we get down. Give me some hard hit. Fly to the ball. Lights out. Dog football. That's what we do every week. Every week. It don't change.
We got a big game ahead of us, man, you know. We got to come in here. We trying to get four in a row. Home game. You know what I'm saying? We just trying to get this. We trying to keep this streak rolling.
Mom always told me something. She said, don't just show up, baby. Show out. Ever since then, I've just learned to show out, man.
It's time to get back to the table. Let's see. Bam on three. One, two, three. Bam.
The mood is set. The weather is great. There's nothing better to do than turn up.
Everybody, welcome to Browns Overtime in the wake of this 31-17 Detroit Lions win over the Cleveland Browns. Michael Regei, Gerard Cherry, Vic Carucci will join us. Browns had a sizzling second quarter, ran off 17 unanswered points. Gerard led by 10 at the break. What was more imperative to you in the second half, that the Browns offense came to a screeching halt, or that Detroit offensive coordinator Scott Linehan identified and found mismatches for his football team that turned into big production?
Ultimately, Michael, it was the mismatches that Linehan found. And when you look at this game, you're going to go back and say, off linebackers, you got to match up better. Safeties, you have to match up better, because those things were exploited throughout the course of this game, Michael. But more importantly, Michael, I look at the energy level. I say to myself, you do not win a game in the first half. You have two halves to play. You cannot go into halftime resting on your laurels. You have to come out there with energy. Detroit was a hungry football team, and they obviously showed it in the second half.
Yeah, Vic Carucci, the Browns, as we said, they had that 10-point lead. They amassed 250 yards of total offense, most of it in the second quarter in that first half. Where did things come to a standstill, and why did not the offense produce to the same level that they did in half number one?
You talk about the adjustments that the Lions made offensively. Let's talk about some of the defensive adjustments they made, too. They were definitely taking some things away that the Browns were able to exploit in the early going. They got more physical in the middle. I mean, the Browns had taken it right to them with their running game, the smash-mouth running game that opened a lot of things up in the passing game. That came to a halt in the second half. And then Brandon Whedon, unfortunately, went back to the mode of a guy who was making mistakes, lost whatever rhythm he had beforehand. And I think when the other team is adjusting, obviously you've got to make those same adjustments. They were dialing up all the right plays, especially in the second quarter. That all came to a halt in the third. Give credit to the Lions defense, but, you know, the Browns have to adjust as well.
We talked about all week long, Gerard, that the Detroit Lions only allow 27% of third down conversions. That's the best in the NFL. Yeah, they dialed it up on the defensive side, but did you get the sense, though, that some of the things that they were doing defensively, where was the confusion being caused with Brandon Whedon, and even the Browns' run game came to a stop as well?
It boils down to this, Michael. When you're in a position where you can have a four-man rush, take care of things, and not rely on zone dogs and blitzes and things of that nature, you make things happen. And that's really what it came up to. The fact that they had a four-man blitz, four-man rush taking place, and the Browns could not adjust to that, because with that taking place, you have different secondary men in there and extra guys, and the Browns could not adjust. Thus, Brandon Whedon's confusion.
All right, so the three-game win streak comes to an end. The Browns also had won the back-to-back here at home. Gerard, before we hear from Rob Chudzinski, how do you feel that this will affect this football team? Young football team starting to develop and find their way. Now got to go on the road to Green Bay and Kansas City back-to-back. Can they reclaim that good feel that they had coming into this one on the three-game win streak?
You can certainly reclaim it, Michael, but one thing this team has to realize is that wins come hard in the NFL, and you just cannot rest on your laurels from playing well in the first half. So one thing you can say from this is it may be a blessing in disguise, and that this team sees that, hey, you have to go out there and play four complete quarters of football.
Yeah, it was very telling as the Browns, again, pretty much played. They played 15 minutes today. They played in a superb second quarter when they amassed most of that 250 yards of first half offense. Great balance, 135 through the air, 115 on the ground. Norv Turner opened up the playbook, but it did not continue in the second half. All right, following the 14-point loss to the Detroit Lions, let's get the thoughts of Browns head coach Rob Chudzinski.
Obviously a disappointing loss today. Felt good about how we played in the first half.
and we weren't able to close the game out in the second half. And that's something we need to learn to do and be able to do is take the game when we have the opportunities and be more consistent in that way.
Are you trying to throw it away or trying to complete it?
I was trying to flip it over Obi's head. He had my left ankle and I couldn't really turn to actually throw it. So didn't want to take a sack there and just tried to flip it as far as I could over Obi's head. It's almost better just to take a sack there and move on to the next play. I was just trying to avoid taking the sack, and again, just throwing over his head.
What happened in the offense in the second half? Right?
Without seeing the tape, it's hard to tell. We didn't do as well on first and second down as we did in the first half. Didn't really string together the drives, and that starts because we weren't as good on first and second down. It's hard to tell without the tape. We just couldn't get any momentum, couldn't get any flow going. And I thought we executed and played really well in the first half. We just weren't able to play the full 60 minutes.
See, with both Rob Chudzinski and Brandon Wheaton, an eminently winnable football game that the Browns were not able to take to finality today. But Gerard, again, in the second half, Scott Linehan, really, the Detroit offensive coordinator, seemed to isolate mismatches with the Browns' safeties and with the Browns' linebackers in their pass game, mostly Reggie Bush and the rookie tight end, Joseph Fourier, who caught 3 TD passes today.
Yes, and when you watch those matchups, you say to yourself, Michael, what could the Browns do to put their defense in a better situation? You really can't do anything because you're asking for Robertson to go one-on-one with Reggie Bush. I'm going to take that matchup all day.
Yeah.
Gibson and Ward are good players, but they're not great coverage players. So you saw the benefits, if you're the Lions, of that hey, you got to exploit that. The game is about finding mismatches, and it became apparently obvious that the Lions found them today.
So the Browns fall 31-17, 24 unanswered points from Matthew Stafford and the Detroit Lions. The Browns' defense, though, as always, they're ranked fourth in the NFL. They had their moments. Don't go away. When Browns overtime returns following this loss to Detroit, one of the key factors in that Browns' defense of the secondary, we'll visit with Tashawn Gibson. That's next. Don't move.
Tannehill will go to the middle. It's tipped and intercepted. Running hard with it is Tashawn Gibson. Over the 40 to the 43, and the Browns' defense comes up big.
I need everything out of everybody tonight for 60 minutes. Ride on three. One, two, three. Let's go. Let's go. You can't block me.
Wheaton to throw on first and five. Going long, going deep. It's caught. Greg Little's got it. Inside the 25-yard line.
There you go, G. There you go, G!
Juggled and caught! Touchdown! Woo! It's Josh Gordon!
Woo! Woo! Who mouthpiece is that? Hey, good try, though. Good try. We gonna get you this ball back. We're going to get that ball back, Coach.
Shotgun snap. Tool back to pass. Throws to the middle. Pick off. And there he goes. Down the sideline. T.J. Ward. 10-5. Touchdown.
I know you like that. That's T.J. Ward mic'd up as he put the clamps with that big pick six on the Browns. Very thrilling win 10 days ago over the Buffalo Bills. Welcome back, everybody. This is Browns Overtime. Michael Regad, Gerard Cherry. And let's send it out to Vic Carucci as he stands by with young man who's been playing outstanding football at the back end of that Browns secondary, Tashawn Gibson. Vic?
Tashawn, how disappointing to lose this game and after being on the high of that three-game win streak?
Anytime you come out here and take an L, that's definitely a huge disappointment in this locker room, and especially the way we came out. I think that for the first 30 minutes, we came out and fought, scratched, clawed, and, we was able to have a 10-point lead. We was very efficient on the offensive side of the ball, defense side of the ball, and to come out as flat as we did, that's very disappointing upon me, man, and the rest of the, offensively as well as defensively. And, things like that can happen if we're trying to accomplish the things that we're trying to accomplish this year.
And, of course, you look like when you got that interception, the tip from Buster Skrine, it looked like that was the kind of thing that might give this team a spark, but those sparks just really never came in the second half.
You know, yeah, anytime you get a defensive takeaway, you know, via interception, any kind of takeaway, it's definitely a huge momentum builder for us as a defensive unit. But it was a red zone takeaway, and, you know, we was definitely trying to take advantage of it. But, unfortunately, like the scoreboard said and tilted, things just kind of really weren't going our way today. So, like I said, I credit Detroit Lions huge for coming out, you know, and making plays. And, you know, they made plays, and we didn't. At the end of the day, that's what really that's how the game came out.
All right, Vic, appreciate it. There's a young man, Gerard, at the back end of that Brown secondary that has been asked to grow up in a real hurry. He and Buster Skrine. You played the position, my man, in the National Football League. This doesn't come easily, does it, for young men with these type of responsibilities? How do you think specifically Gibson and Skrine have handled those opportunities now, six games deep into the year?
You have to be impressed, Michael, with what they've done thus far. You can make the argument that they have embraced adversity. Buster Skrine was questionable. Gibson was questionable. But guess what? They're playing meaningful football. They're making plays. When their number's called, they're answering it. So you have to be impressed thus far. And that's a young secondary you have back there making plays. So the future's bright for Skrine, Gibson, as well as Ward, and obviously Joe Hayden.
The thing I like about them so much, too, is both of them are very confident, sure tacklers, Jay, and they're not afraid to come up and support the run game with physicality. Take you a long way, won't it?
That it will when you play in the National Football League. Granted, we understand the rules have been changed. Yeah. At the same time, though, your ass will still tackle football players.
Yeah. All right, we'll keep an eye on the Tashaun Gibsons and the Buster Skrines, indeed young men that are getting their opportunity and making the most of it. And that Cleveland Browns defense. Don't go away. When we get back, we'll flip things over to the offensive side of the football. Chris Obanaya will chat with us following this Browns 31-17 loss to the Detroit Lions. A lot more Browns overtime to go. Don't you move. We're coming right back.
Here's Hoyer taking. He's going to throw. Right flat. Caught. Touchdown. They got it in. It's Obanaya.
So great to have you a part of Browns Overtime, everybody. Browns let a 10-point halftime lead slide away today. Got beat by the Detroit Lions 31-17. In the first half, 115 yards rushing. Norv Turner had certainly opened up the playbook. Everything in the ground game was working very, very well. Gerard, what allowed, how much of it was that offensive line that allowed those Browns running backs to find production in the first half?
It all starts in the trenches, Michael. When you have the things clicking down there, things are going to work out in the running game. And you like the fact that the Browns running by committee worked out well. Willis McGahee, he did his thing. Obanaya did his part as well. The thing that you have to say to the offensive line is that you stepped up, you made traction, you got better today. Where was it in the second half is a question that we'll all be asking for the remainder of this week. At the same time, though, you have to move on, Michael.
Yeah, we do, and let's see if we can find out some of those answers. Don't forget about that 45-yard gadget as Travis Benjamin got to the edge. That's in the ground game as well. Vic Carucci with Browns running back Chris Obanaya, guys.
Thank you, Michael. Chris, the offense was rolling, especially in the second quarter. What happened in the second half?
We just got a little bit behind schedule, a little bit of a lack of execution. We had some penalties that kind of put us behind the eight ball. But those are things that we as a group have to understand, that we got to continue to play. It's a 60-minute game, and we'll look at the tape, make our corrections, and go from there.
What were some of the things you guys just saw in that Detroit defense that you were able to exploit, at least early on?
We just knew that there was an ability to have some checkdowns throughout the course of the game, and Brandon did a nice job of going through his reads, making some good throws, and I was able to get my hands on a few of those balls.
Confidence is such a delicate thing in this league. This team was rolling with three wins. Now to have it kind of suddenly come to a screeching halt with this loss, how do you feel the overall team will react to this going forward?
I think we'll be fine. It's one game. We lost two of our first games to start the season and bounced back. We went back to where we kept working. And so as a group, we just need to continue to do what we've done. That formula has been successful. We'll go back to work, look at the tape, make our corrections, and go from there.
Appreciate that, Vic. And Chris Obanaya, a very versatile young man who came to the Cleveland Browns as a free agent, making the most of his opportunities. Speaking of making the most of opportunities, we want you to hear from Joe Cullen, the outstanding, most enthusiastic defensive line coach of the Cleveland Browns. Let's get inside how the Browns go after that play along the front line as Joe Cullen is joined by one of his guys, Desmond Bryant.
Here comes the sack, and they got it. Desmond Bryant. Did Reuben hit him for a sack? DeQuell Jackson tipped it, and Buster Skrine picked it.
Boy, great job by that defense. They are good.
Tell you what's really been good
through the first 5 weeks is how we've been able to stop that run and really been able to get after the quarterback. And I think a lot of that has to do with our scheme. Coach Horton's brought a great scheme here, you know, but our secondary really has done a great job too, and that ball has skirted outside. It was evident in the Minnesota game and obviously the Cincinnati game, but that really enables you guys to get after the quarterback on third and long, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. I think one of the biggest things for us as a D-line is our guys behind us. Our linebackers and our DBs have really been there to, you know, pick up the slack when we weren't there. So, you know, it's really been working, helping us make us a great defense this year.
Mingo coming, and he got a sack.
Well, there's
a good
start.
He got Flacco right off the right corner and got him back at the 45-yard line. Welcome, Mr. Mingo.
I tell you, the other thing that's been really good, Dez, you know, obviously – You've been playing at a really high level, but, you know, earlier in the year, we didn't have Ruben, so there was one of our big guns, and Billy stepped in, did a great job. John, you stepped in, did a great job at the nose tackle. Phil's been really doing a great job, but right behind him, when he needs a blow, we put Ish Kitchen in there, and he's done a great job. And then even the other night, you were having a dominating game, and it was unfortunate you had to leave the game. And then Armani stepped in for your role and really picked up the slack.
Yeah, I think we've got great depth along the whole front seven. You know, besides those guys you mentioned, we also, you know, Jabal's been out, Q's been out, and Mingo stepped in there, played really well. We've got some young guys, and Hazel and Martin have come in and played pretty well for us. So, you know, I think we've got a great defense so far, but, you know, the guys behind us are ready to go.
You make a great point, Des. I mean, you look at our outside linebackers when the start of the year, you know, Q had a sack in the first game. Paul had a sack in the first game. Jabal had a sack in the first game. Was really rushing at a high level. And all of a sudden, Mingo comes in and gives us some great rushing. I think the biggest thing, Des, as we go forward, I think you'd say, is that we just got to continue to get better. And a lot of it happens right out here on this practice field. You guys have done a great job embracing what Coach Horton and the staff have wanted, what we've wanted, and that's a tribute to you guys.
Yeah, and I think it's a tribute to you, too, as a coach. You know, you've had us out there hustling and running those drills. You know, we don't like it all the time, but, you know, we know that you're helping us get better. We know that Ray Horton's scheming up some things to get us in the best position to succeed. And, you know, we're really buying into that system. You know, I think going forward, you know, we can be as good as we want to be.
No, there's no question. You just made a key point. We can be as good as we want to be. And when you're willing to put the work in, great things happen.
Ponder back to pass. Up in the pocket. They got him. They sack him. It's over. Desmond Bryant with the sack. And it's all over in the Metrodome.
I don't know about you, but I'd like to play for a Joe Cullen. The enthusiasm is off the charts for the Browns D-line coach. All right, don't go away. When we get back, Browns overtime, got to find out about the Browns' next assignment. Legendary Lambeau Field. Yep. That means the Green Bay Packers. Gerard, Vic, and I'll get into that. Following this Browns loss to Detroit. Don't move. So glad you're a part of Browns Overtime with us. We're here at Brownstown at First Energy Stadium. Second half was not what Rob Chudzinski, the organization, and Eddie View would want it as the Browns fall 31-17 to the Detroit Lions. Next week, a trip, Gerard, the legendary Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers. The football team, Aaron Rodgers, they stumbled out of the gate, but back-to-back weeks now, they've come up with wins over the Detroit Lions, and today beat the Baltimore Ravens, so they're back to 500.
They are back to 500, and one thing about playing at Lambeau Field, it's an extremely tough place to play because the fan base is totally into the game, and also, too, it just gives a certain level of injury to the Green Bay Packers players that they show up for this game, Michael. But one thing the Browns can do, if you do go up there and get a win, you're back on track, and you're saying to yourself, I beat a quality opponent, and we do still matter in the NFL. It's still early on.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of football left to play.
Time for us to energize things with you on Browns Overtime. An opportunity for you to ask a question of your favorite Browns football player. We call it Fans First Down today. Got the question for Barkevious Mingo.
Mingo coming, and he got a sack.
Well, there's
a
good
start.
He got
Flacco right off the right corner and got him back at the 45-yard line. Welcome, Mr. Mingo.
My question is for Barkevious Mingo. Hey, man, what gives you the drive to be such a destructive animal out there every single game? We're all rooting for you. Keep it up.
Hey, Aaron, thanks for your question. What drives me in my game, I think it's just having a knack for getting around the ball. I love pursuing and love making tackles, love being able to affect the plays and help the team win. Thanks for your question. Thanks for being a Browns fan.
In the pocket, blitz coming. He's going to run it out of there. He throws, and a big hit by Barkevious Mingo. He just drills Graham over the middle. Here comes Mingo. You'll hear that a lot for the next few years.
All right, so the Browns are now sitting 3-3, Gerard, after this loss to Detroit. That's where the Baltimore Ravens are with the Green Bay win. Cincinnati at 4-2. Now, the bottom line, though, is the Browns are right there, a game behind Cincinnati, 6 games deep into a football season. They got to use that to their advantage, do they not, going forward?
That you do, Michael, and you have to have a short memory. I understand that. But at the same time, if you're a Browns player, you're saying to yourself, we let one get away today, and we should have won this football game had we matched the energy that we had in the first half into the second half.
Yeah. So we'll see what this week brings and how the Browns are able to respond to this. That's a tough-to-swallow setback because they had a 10-point lead, as we know. And that's why football teams, though, like the Detroit Lions, talent-laden, came back and got the job done today. 31-17, the Browns fall to the Detroit Lions. We're going to see you next week out of Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Now for our producer, Andy Hecht, all of our terrific crew, for Gerard Cherry, for Vic Carucci, I'm Michael Rega. I hope you enjoyed Browns Overtime, everybody. We'll see you next week. So long.